Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello. Welcome
hello,
to Two
hello.
Black Girls, One Rose.
Where three black-ass girls invade the whitest show on earth.
The Bachelorette.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And I'm loving this season.
Loving? Loving it.
It is
so
a
surprised.
Great watch.
This is
Me
so
too.
Good.
I'm surprised at how good it is.
Same. And I'm also, I'm not saying this just because we're in a pandemic and there's nothing to watch. Like, this is truly good.
It's good. Like, yeah. I actually like watching this.
Yep.
Not just for the sake of the podcast. Like, I'm enjoying this watching experience.
Yes. Yeah.
Thought this was another great episode.
Mm-hmm.
Really getting to know these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are your thoughts?
Okay.
Kick us off.
Yeah, I'll go in. Yeah, because I don't have that much. This is the best cast of guys I've ever seen.
Ever.
I don't know if this is the best cast of guys that's ever been on the show. I'm going to say it is. Right?
It is. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad Claire didn't waste anybody's time.
Yeah.
I'm glad she left. I am so happy she left.
Mm-hmm. This group of guys deserved better.
Better. And both parties. Claire.
Both parties. Claire got what she needed.
39 years old. Said, mm-hmm. I know what I want and I got it.
Yep.
I got to go. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
These guys deserve somebody who is going to tell their story in a great way on TV, which is really nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they deserve love on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really, really great group of guys. Even though they're the best group of guys, the patriarchy and like heteronormatives are still creeping in. I'm not going to point all of them out because honestly, there's no use. Like Natasha said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, there are bigger issues to worry about than who said who is a smoke show or who said who
right,
would
like.
Fuck somebody on the first date. There's just not. Like, we have bigger fish to fry.
Big fish to fry.
Yeah. But you can tell how insulted men get when you call them, like, young. Like, they hate that. Men can't stand when you call them young.
Noah was losing it.
Noah was losing his mind today.
To be called young. You are young. You're 25.
He
That's not
young.
Even an insult.
They
it's
don't
literally
like
a
that.
Fact, as Bennett said.
Nope. They don't like that. They don't
God.
Like that shit. I worked with a guy who was 24, and I was 28 at the time, and I was like, oh, you're just like little. Blah, blah. He freaked out on me. He was like, I've been through mad shit. I've been shot at. You never been shot at. What the fuck are you talking about? I was like, yo.
Damn, how'd we get there?
Nigga, are you crazy?
Oh, God.
Ooh, it was wild. But they don't like being called young. They don't
like
it.
Call young. Yeah.
It's like an insult.
I think when they hear
men.
Young, they hear immature.
Immature,
or you're a
kid. Yeah.
When, I mean. I mean, that's you're young, but.
Right. Or that's true, Noah.
Hello.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. I just can't wait to dive into this episode. What about you? What'd you think?
Yeah. I agree, best cast of men they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I take it back before when I said that they are just a boring group of nice
men. Yeah, yeah.
I think this is like a solid group of nice men, yes,
mm-hmm.
but they have depth.
Yeah.
They all have some type of backstory. And it doesn't have to be like some tragic backstory, but they come with like stories. They mm-hmm. They've lived a life and mm-hmm. we actually get to like learn about it mm-hmm. and appreciate them and get to know them as real people and not just like these contestant like just like characters,
storyboard characters.
Yeah. Right. I think this group date, the painting like creative one, we learn more about these men from that one date
mm-hmm.
than we've learned from entire seasons with other guys.
Yeah
Like, I felt like I now know more about Riley. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know Ivan's whole life story.
Oh, whole life. Whole life.
Riley, Ivan, Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Then I feel like I learned about Brian from Rachel's season, who was the winner.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And we're still, we got 9, 10 guys here. And I feel mm-hmm. like I just learned so much more in that one date than we've ever seen from other past guys. So
yes,
I love it. I feel like I have so many favorites
among
the men, which is cool. And I feel like we're watching almost like a different show.
Mm-hmm.
There's just more depth than ever. It's also a combination of Tasia being older, more mature, always asking great questions,
mm-hmm.
And really diving in to get to know these guys and not just like, what's your favorite color? Like, what do you
like to do on the weekends?
What do you like to do on the weekends? Like she's asking like real shit about their lives, and that's what's drawing them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the guys just being solid older guys, many of which, I mean, we've decided have never seen the show, so they're not like
absolutely
playing into any tropes or formula or anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we see Easy play into a formula tonight, and it got him sent home.
That was devastating.
He was like, it's my one-on-one time.
Yes.
I need to drop that I'm falling in love.
Yep.
You did it too soon, and now you're chucking the deuces.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, but that was like the first instance. Otherwise, all these guys, they just seem like aliens that have like arrived in Bachelor World and are like on this show and know nothing about the show or the formula or anything.
Yep.
And it's refreshing because I feel like they're not coming in with all these preconceived ideas, game plans, strategies that we're used to seeing on the show. So
right.
It feels like we're watching something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm loving it personally.
Yes, same. I caught it, what I was going to say before.
Oh, yes.
Usually by this time in the season, like episode 8, I want to say, what is it? Like 16 episodes, right? Usually around this time, mid-season, I'm usually like damn near asleep. Like, this shit is usually mad boring until, like, episode 12.
Mm-hmm.
I think every episode is going to be really interesting and really good.
Yeah.
Right?
I think also, usually, around this time, we don't have, like, clear favorites or, like, invested interest.
Yeah.
There might be, like, one or two guys that were like, oh, yeah, he's cute, he's the best, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But here, I feel like we're all invested in Ivan. We're all invested in Ben. Fucking
absolutely.
Buzz.
Yes.
God damn. Like, after tonight's episode, Ivan, I said Ivan already, Zach, like, we're
Joe,
so invested
Zach.
In them.
Yeah.
Way earlier than usual.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hope they try to continue some of this with Matt's season. Because I feel like a lot of this is because they're in one spot.
Because they're what?
In one spot. And they're not like, and here's the mountains of Utah. We're going to go on a Utah date.
Yeah.
And make schnitzel or like whatever the hell they do. Like, you know?
Yeah.
There's not as many gimmicks and shit like that that they can pull.
Mm-hmm.
They really have to rely on these characters and these people to like give them some story.
Yeah.
But
I think
Matt
a big
season,
part. I think that's a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big part is the men being older.
Yeah,
because I think even just from the preview of Matt James's season,
I know
we're getting in the usuals.
Yeah.
You know, the usual girls that we know.
Yep,
and some young bloods, mm-hmm. and I can hear the cattiness. I hear the voice. I hear the like the.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we might revert back, unfortunately, but we'll see. But yeah, definitely excited to dissect this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we got some stuff to talk about before we get there.
Yep.
Shout out, as always, to the Patreon crew.
Shout out.
Love you guys. Love you, love you. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe. We do live tweet every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, live on Twitter with everybody else at Bachelor Nation.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us at the number 2 BLK Girls, the number 1 Rose.
And you can email us at the number 2 Black Girls, the number 1 Rose at gmail.com.
Yep. Find us on Instagram. Tag us in your story. Share us with the world. Let everybody know you're watching The Bachelorette and you're listening along with 2 Black Girls, 1 Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys. All right, Justine, I know we got some church announcements. Because the church.
We do. So we got a lot of love this week, which is really nice. So shout out to Lindsay, Amelia, and Maxine, and Danielle, who gave us some love on in the Patreon messages. Also, we did, and when you guys send us DMs like this, it's better if you guys send us emails because it's easier for us to go through it. We got 2 very different stories about Bennett's ex-fiance.
Yes, some
very different takes. And people who were very staunchly standing in their theory of, like, what happened to him.
So what are, let's just spill the tea. I know one from the emails, I think, but I don't know if I saw the DM one.
Okay.
You don't have to give their names or anything.
Right. But so one from the emails is that her coworker was supposed to be a bridesmaid in their wedding.
In Bennett's.
Bennett's.
Wedding, runaway wedding.
Yes.
That we learned about last episode, yes.
And apparently 2 weeks before the wedding, at the bachelorette party, his fiance, so the woman he was supposed to marry, said, I don't think I can do this, and called off the wedding with less than 2 weeks to go.
At the bachelorette party?
At the bachelorette party.
Oh, shit. That part.
And
so she ran away from him.
Apparently.
Okay. Apparently, from this take.
From this take. That is A, not the story that he told on TV.
No, he made it sound like he ran away.
Yes. Also, I feel like we got a DM, but I couldn't find the DM because we get a lot of, like, reactions and stuff.
Yeah.
I couldn't find the DM, and I couldn't, like, read it again. But somebody else said that they knew what happened with Bennett and that it was that he dumped somebody, and then, like, 2 months later, he was on The Bachelorette, and he's just looking for fame.
I did read that one.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, she said he broke it up, and then he applied for the show and was on the show within a month or two or something.
Yes, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Both people are like, I know this person, and it is true. This is very different.
different takes, but it could work. It could be that the girl left him.
Yeah.
He was heartbroken, and then was like, fuck it, I'm going on The Bachelorette. And 2 months later, he was on The Bachelorette. So it could actually be the same story, right?
Well, one person was saying that Bennett broke it up. One person is saying that the fiance broke it up.
Oh, okay. You're right. The DM did say that he broke it up.
That he broke it off.
So the verdict is still out. We still don't know.
Still out. And DM person, please email the number 2 Black Girls, 1 Rose if we're, like, getting your story wrong. We both only saw it one time.
Yeah.
So if you email us, it's easier. But, like, what? Why are there so many different variations of this story?
Who is Bennett? The verdict is still out. We still have no idea who this man is and, like, what actually happened here.
So strange.
Very strange.
So
very strange.
Weird.
Love the tea, though.
I know, right? Love it. This is great. You guys are great. And then we have a birthday message. Happy birthday to Joy. It's her birthday this week.
Oh, happy birthday, Joy.
Sagittarian sister.
Yep, you are. Love it. You're with good company.
You are. You are. And depending on where you live, it could still be like 50 degrees out. So maybe you can go outside.
That's true. Yep. Still can. Still can. Nice.
And shout out to the cookout crew.
Hey,
Michaela, Erin, Sarah, Ava, Tracy, Becky, Kalia, Sam, Monica, Rachel, Lexi, Jenna, Marsha, Louisa, Stephanie, and Zakia. Shout out to you guys. We love you.
Shout out to the cookout crew. Love you guys. All right. So I do have some Bachelor Nation news.
I know you do.
I do. I do. So firstly, Mr. Easy.
Yeah.
So
this is hard. This is hard.
Yeah. Easy was accused of sexual assault. Reality Steve reported this some time ago, but there wasn't much to report at the time, I felt. And I personally feel very weird getting up on this platform and reporting about legal allegations.
Yeah.
Not that we haven't done it before, but it always feels weird for me. So I'm just putting that out there. But yeah, Easy, there were allegations against him. An unidentified woman revealed in a thread on Twitter that she's now since deleted the tweets, that she had a non-consensual sexual encounter with Easy. She brought forth these allegations. She's deleted the tweets after she got legal counsel and they were like, yeah, take that down. And apparently she spoke with NZK Productions, which is the production company behind The Bachelorette. Their legal team, they did an investigation. They met with Easy. Apparently there's a lot of he said, she said going back and forth. ABC did an investigation into the allegations, whatever that means. And their investigation ruled that it was inconclusive. So we've seen Easy this whole season. They never edited him out.
Right.
He was very present. Like, literally up until this episode as well. So I guess that was ABC's way of saying, like, we saw the allegations, we don't think there should, and we're just gonna move forward. The whole thing is unfortunate. Anytime, I mean, this is not the first time that someone who's been accused of sexual assault has been casted on the show. ABC, the production companies, I mean, we talk about this up and down about how they need to do their digging and all that jazz, but this woman, I guess she didn't share her story until she
saw him.
Until she saw him on the show and then did her tweets. So in the defense of the production company, which I ain't never trying to defend them, but never. I guess there was nothing for them to dig up because that never really existed before. But yeah, the whole thing's very unfortunate. I mean, it sucks to, like, come forward, tell your story, and then be in this, like, weird legal battle with, like, production companies and this back and forth, and then they rule it inconclusive, and then you see him on TV still going about his life.
Right, and Twitter is still like, Easy deserves better, like, and they, what it seems like is that they didn't believe you, or that, like, you didn't have enough evidence to to be believed, which sucks. Yeah, it's unfortunate, for sure.
Very much sucks. So, but yeah, just thought, I mean, I've known this for some time. It hasn't really been widely reported. Today, Refinery 29 actually put out something. So I was like, great. And Easy had like quite a moment in this episode. So I thought we'd talk about it. But yeah, that's that. Unfortunate.
Yeah, we'll never know.
We will never know.
But
I always believe the woman. So.
You know what? You know what I saw today? Sidetrack. Sorry, but I have to tell you this. What I was watching today while I was working, I saw that Vice. You know that thing where that girl in all black is sitting next to a young brown woman with very long hair, and she's like, I voted for Trump as kind of a joke. Like, I just, like, pressed the button, and I thought it was – it's like a viral Twitter clip. And the girl next to her was like, "Can let's just speak to the privilege of you thinking that this election was a joke." And she was like, oh, it's not really, like, a joke. And she was like, you just said it. You just said it was a joke. You had never seen that clip?
I've not seen this.
Oh my God. It's iconic.
It's on Vice? What? It's a clip from a Vice show?
So it's a clip from a Vice conversation that they did with women who were on all different political spectrums. So they had like a black conservative woman. They had a trans black woman. They had conservative women. They had pro-choice women, pro-life women.
Like everything.
Everything. Talking about feminism. And they talked about the Me Too movement, and the conservative women were saying that what turns them off the most is saying believe all women, because they're like, you can't always believe all women, that's ridiculous. And I was like, wow,
who is saying that?
The conservative women who were in the in the group, including the black one. The black one is actually very adamant about that. Very, very interesting. Definitely check it out if you haven't. It's on YouTube. So it's like totally free and no ads or anything. Yeah, it's great conversation. Lots of thinking.
I Yeah, I mean, obviously sexual assault and any type, there's like allegations against someone who's like in the public, it's always like you gotta tread lightly. I just always think about, it's not easy for any woman to come forward to share something like this. And so I'm always inclined to lie with her, side with her.
Yeah.
Because no one just wakes up one day and be like, oh, I'm just going to start some shit today in Bachelor Nation and like release a tweet, the threat of tweets accusing someone. So, but yeah, I would love to check that out just to hear the other side, what they're saying.
Yes. And what they're so interesting and necessary to like hear with these women who are like, no, I don't believe in Me Too. No, I'm not a feminist. And yes, I voted for Trump. Like, who are you?
Who are you? Why do you exist? Why are you allowed to vote for my rights? You do not speak for me, girl. Oh, God, a mess. Anyways, next piece of Bachelor Nation news. So Ari got COVID.
Well, that's what happens, okay?
That's what happens.
That's what happens. God don't like ugly, do we?
God don't like ugly. He got the swiftest of karma for him, coming for him. I don't know if you saw his whole beef with Taylor Nolan.
I sure did. And wasn't she promoting sex toys?
So, yes.
I'm about to buy one using her code. What's her code?
I know, right? Support black-owned businesses. Yeah. And I love Taylor. So, Ari, for those of you who don't know, he posted a poll on his Instagram back November 3rd. November 3rd, that was election day, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
On election day, asking people who they're voting for, and then wrote, remember we are all united, and it's okay to have different opinions.
Freedom. So what a Trump voter. Oh, my God.
Straight up just all lives matter bullshit, essentially. Yep. And so Taylor Nolan, she commented basically saying that this is bullshit.
Yep.
And just said her little piece on his poll or whatever the hell. Then weeks later, so this is like weeks go by, Taylor does an ad for, I want to say a sex toy or some type of sex device. And here comes Ari again with his bullshit, trying to shame her and like sarcastically calling her classy. Oh, that's classy. You came for me on my post, but here you are promoting. He like made a joke like masturbation tools or whatever. That's classy. Taylor clapped back with a 12-minute video.
All right.
Roasting the shit out of Ari and all white men, and I loved it. She came all the way through. First of all, she's a therapist, and she works as a sex therapist.
I didn't know that.
She's a licensed psychotherapist. She's currently in school for her PhD in clinical sexology.
God damn. Wow.
So her podcast is good, too. I've listened to a few episodes.
Okay.
She does a lot of talk on, like, love and relationships, but a lot on sex, too, but from, like, a clinical, scientific, like, standpoint.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, she came back with that and basically was like, what you're not going to do is this. at all. And I think it was just a beautiful display of a roast of just a privileged white man who had no business coming for her in this way. And I just love when black women just have the time to roast a bitch. 12 minutes was this video, Justine.
That's
12 minutes.
That's long. Yeah.
But she had the time.
She did.
She had the time. And what I think is so beautiful, oftentimes we are busy.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we ain't got the time.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we are not the one.
Mm-hmm.
But when a black woman has time, beware.
And don't get an educated black woman to talking, because she will rip you into shreds.
A black woman en route to her PhD.
She's about to be a doctor. No. She's about to be a doctor.
Full-on doctor. She wasn't the one. I loved it. Head over to Taylor's page if you missed it. I'm sure it's somewhere still there. So yeah, that was my other piece of news. And then I do have a soapbox I want to get up on real quick.
Get up on. Let's hear it.
Yes. So this is kind of in defense of Tasia. I'm seeing after last episode with Anastasia and Ivan and their whole conversation, mm-hmm. and seeing a lot of mostly Black women, mostly women of color, mm-hmm. in Bachelor Nation expressing how they wanted more out of Tasia during that conversation with mm-hmm. Ivan, expressing disappointment and getting, you know, little from Tasia other than tears or her just kind of saying like it's so hard. A lot of people questioning Tasia's like racial salience and like how connected she is to her Black identity, and them feeling let down by her in that scene, like craving more. And I'm seeing it a lot in our comments and the DMs, all that stuff. And just have a couple things to say. So I too wanted more from Tasia. Mm-hmm. In an ideal world, she would have laid out a play-by-play of white supremacy, racial injustice, and systemic oppression in this country. Right. Live on primetime ABC for all the Karens right. and Beckys of the world to just eat up.
Yes.
I would have loved to see that mm-hmm. in an ideal world. Mm-hmm. That's obviously not what we got from mm-hmm. Tasia. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Justine and I, for example, we are very... No, power to the people, pro-Black, mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter, blackity, black, mm-hmm. two Black girls from Rose. Like,
yes.
We are maybe more eloquent on subjects like this than Tasia is, for example. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But just because we're able to articulate our thoughts and feelings about Blackness, Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. doesn't make us any more Black than Tasia.
Than Tasia, yes.
Doesn't mean Tasia doesn't feel our exact same hurt and pain. Mm-hmm. And for us to demand XYZ from her in that moment. And we have to remember what that moment was. She's sitting on she's on television.
Yeah, she knows. she's sitting on TV. Yeah.
Yes, in front of a row of white people.
Yes.
One of which has a boom microphone in her face.
Yeah.
She's mic'd up. She has lights on her. Mm-hmm. She's not dumb. She knows the exact weight of this conversation and the pressure that she's under, mm-hmm. being, you know, the second Black Bachelorette. And then not only the pressure from like these white producers who are staring back at her like, woohoo, we're getting our moments. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's also thinking of the Black and brown folks of Bachelor Nation who are watching her and waiting for this moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so when I'm seeing everybody in the comments and DMs, I'm just want to ask people to have a little more grace for the girl. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I myself, as much as I love to talk about all these Black issues and blackity, black, black, I probably would have had trouble finding words my damn self. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, other thing I want to say, I don't know Tasia. Mm-hmm. None of us know Tasia. We can only judge her based on what we've learned about her, what we've seen of her. She's a Black woman, Black mm-hmm. and Mexican. We know she grew up in Orange County, which is a very white, very affluent, probably very Republican, I'm assuming.
Area. Yeah, very. Mm-hmm.
We know her Instagram is not littered with like Breonna Taylor tribute videos and, you know, Cardi B, you know, ass clapping videos. We know her last boyfriend was John Paul Jones.
Yeah, like, right.
We're all assuming from what we see that she's not strongly connected to her Black identity and mm-hmm. you know, in that way, in a way that, let's say, like Justine and I might be. Mm-hmm. If that is so, if those assumptions are so, mm-hmm. again, have grace for the girl rather than put her down.
Yeah.
Because it's times like these, like times where George Floyd is murdered on camera, mm-hmm. times where people are marching and protesting. We have Biden on national television, like mm-hmm. literally saying the word white supremacy. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. no matter how blackity black black you are deeply affected by the racial tension of this country and what's happening right now. You mm-hmm. are deeply mm-hmm. affected when you see another Black man murdered by the police.
Right.
And I personally always, for whatever reason, and maybe it could be because I'm a Black girl that grew up in a mostly white environment. Mm-hmm. I always think of like the Black girl in the white sorority.
Yeah.
Or that Black girl growing up in Orange County and she's the only Black girl in her class.
Yeah.
Or that Black boy who's like at boarding school in Vermont on the fucking lacrosse team. Mm-hmm. Like those Black people who are stuck mm-hmm. in super white environments, mm-hmm. who've been socialized a little bit different than me and you, mm-hmm. who probably might have a different relationship to their Blackness and it's in development. Mm-hmm. We have friends of our own who kind of meet the same
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And we have listeners as well. We have patrons who are who listen to this podcast and who are patrons because they don't have anybody else to relate to.
Exactly. Me and Justine know it very well. We are Black girls, grew up in a super white environments. These are the people that I want to have the most grace for and who I feel for the most because I know they feel the same hurt and pain as I do and are struggling to reconcile everything, oftentimes on their own. So sometimes when they're sat on national television and there's a conversation about Black Lives Matter, they might not find the words.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So I just wanted to say that because I was feeling kind of icky reading people's comments and people like coming for Tasia or like demanding more. And I just wanted to throw that perspective in and just remind people that just to have grace and maybe understand people's perspectives. And also her pain is no different from our pain just because we can articulate our pain maybe a little bit more eloquently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't mean that she's not feeling the same things that we are.
Right. So. That's great. I would just like to add, don't y'all let Tasia Meghan Markle your ass, because you all said the same thing about Meghan Markle, and that bitch had the blackity black black blackity ass wedding that we have ever seen. Okay,
of the royal family for damn sure,
and had all those white people sitting up there having to listen to that black pastor go over time by at least 5 minutes. So do not like, we've done this before and it never works out with black especially black women.
Black
men sometimes disappoint. Sometimes you can sniff that out pretty quick.
But black women, though, come
black
on.
Women, no, we cannot do this. And we cannot do this to each other.
No.
We cannot. No. Oh, friend, I agree so much. I'm so glad you said something.
Needed to be said. Have grace. That's, if anything, that's like my term of like this year. It's just like having more grace with myself and just like, let's have more grace for each other. So just wanted to throw that little perspective in.
Oh, love it.
But yeah, let's dive into the recap.
Let's do it. Yes.
31 minutes into
the I know.
It's going to be a long one, guys.
Uh-huh.
All right. So Tasia, it's, I guess, the day after last night, and she is full on in a marquee nightclub dress at a smooth 12 noon. She is setting out pastries on the table, and I'm like, where are you going?
Right, and who's coming over?
Who's coming over? Mm-hmm. What is the bottle service situation? But yeah, she's talking about how overwhelming the process is and like how she really needs advice. So, of course, there's a knock on the door.
Yeah, a setup, yeah.
And yes, it is JoJo, former bachelorette. They have definitely met. Probably for the first time right now.
Right now, yes. The squealing lets you know that this may be take two of their first meeting.
Right. Yeah. People love JoJo. She's one of the like beloved bachelorettes of Bachelor Nation.
Loved. I don't understand it. And I have asked multiple people, why do they love JoJo? They're like, she's just so regular.
That's what everyone says. She's so regular. I don't.
First of all, that young lady is not regular.
No.
Like, let's get that straight right now.
I find Hannah B to be more regular.
Hannah B is definitely more regular.
Yeah.
Yes. And probably, I mean, realistically, probably just as popular. But Hannah B also like won Dancing with the Stars and like demolished a man on national TV for being emotionally abusive. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's like done it. Actually, two men she's actually demolished on TV. Because Jed, we're never going to hear from his ass ever again.
Jed and Luke.
Jed and Luke.
Damn.
So she's like done things. This young JoJo woman, especially after this conversation, I don't understand any of the appeal. I don't get it.
People love JoJo.
Do they think they can look like her? Because it costs lots of money to look like that.
Yeah, I mean, she's really pretty. Her season, she had Jordan Rodgers, who's like Aaron Rodgers, who's a big quarterback.
His brother.
Her season had a lot of buzz going into it.
Yes. Okay.
But I personally didn't find her season that memorable either. She was also in Ben Higgins' season. She was in the final two, I believe.
Oh shit. Oh wow.
And everybody loves Ben Higgins.
Yes. Another one. Like, don't get
carryover.
Yeah.
Also don't get it.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Would have preferred to see Rachel. Just throwing that
out. I know.
I
would have. You know what? I thought the same thing. And then I thought they probably couldn't afford her rate and kept it moving.
Then kept it moving. Yeah. My girl's booked and busy. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so JoJo comes in. Tasia gives her the whole, you know, play-by-play and how hard it is. She's falling for multiple people. This is, like, very unusual for her. Mm-hmm. JoJo just kind of tells her it's normal to feel anxious and whatever. I don't know. JoJo left much to be desired. She didn't really give many nuggets of wisdom, in my opinion.
She got my first Becky of the week for the episode.
Damn.
Yep. I just don't. You know what it is? You know how we feel about white mediocrity on this podcast.
I was about to say.
It really gets me angry that this young lady is just making bank off of being regular.
Being just.
And maybe it's me being a hating ass bitch, and maybe it's me being a tired ass black bitch, okay? Who's tired of all of this.
All of the above.
Or maybe it is C, all of the above.
Yeah.
But it just, I was just like, you're not giving any advice. You're just sitting here nodding and saying, yeah, that's true. Like, that's.
I was waiting for like a big nugget of wisdom or something.
Or a small nugget of wisdom.
Or a something. Small nugget. Didn't get any nuggets. Great. Still hungry.
It was just verification that Tasia knows what she's talking about, which we all knew before you got here, girl. Exactly. What are you doing at this brunch?
I don't know.
Why do we set out croissants for you?
No idea.
Yeah, Lord. No clue. And even later on in the episode, I'm like, but I can see her being the host. So, you know, things change, but whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Chris Harrison
is trash. So, yeah.
Soon. Yeah. So, please. Anyways, back at Motel 6, the guys are sitting around, they're talking. They all look like they had sleepy eyes. Like, they all look like they just rolled out of bed. I don't know if it was just me. You saw that too?
No, they looked like they had a late night or something.
Yeah, I was like, is this they either just woke up or they were filming all night and hadn't slept.
Yes, I feel like it's the latter. Yeah.
The latter, yeah. They have these people just up all hours doing interviews and craziness. Lord.
Oh, gosh.
So, anyways, Chris Harrison walks in. He, you know, talks about last night's bump in the road, as he calls it, when whack-ass Noah started his old drama, going to Tasia, talking about the guys, question your integrity, yada, yada, yada. But Chris Harrison lets them know he doesn't have a date card because he's actually going to be stepping out to drop his kid off at college where he'll be for 2 weeks before COVID shuts it down and he'll be back home. And I just find it hilarious. He left to go drop his kid off at college in the middle of a pandemic. And we know that college shut down maybe 2 weeks later.
Cause didn't he drop him off in college in Texas?
In Texas.
Of all places.
Oof. Lord.
Ay,
ay, ay. Yeah. But yeah, he says that a dear friend of Tasia, quote unquote, is here to fill in for me. JoJo comes in, obviously introduces herself to all the guys who seem to have no idea who this woman is.
No clue. Maybe
I love
Noah.
It. I love it.
Yes, I love it. Noah's the only one I can see knowing who that is.
Yeah.
But everybody else was like, oh, hi, JoJo.
Hi, JoJo. Is it JoJo or JoJo? Like, trying to get it. Meeting this bitch for the first time.
So cute. I love it. So cute.
Oh, God, I love it. But yeah, she has a date card. It's for Zach. It says, I'm looking for a man I can picture my future with. Zach is obviously super hyped for this date. But does say that there's a lot about me she doesn't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot we definitely don't know either.
I know, because I feel like he'd be getting quiet when she asks questions and things. So
he's mysterious.
Very. And not in a good way.
Not in a good way, but it's also very intriguing. It hooks you very. And you want to go on a one-on-one. Something about Zach.
Yeah.
Something. Somebody tweeted. I retweeted. They're like, what did they say? Something about Zach, like he's intriguing, but also high key sus. Something is like off.
Yeah.
But yeah, Zach meets with Tasia and she's saying he's not typically the type of guy she goes for. She usually goes for someone younger. Which I wonder why.
Some ladies like a younger energy because they feel like they're younger than they are. I have a couple of friends like that who are like 29, 30 and they're like, oh my God, I could never date someone 32.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're like, that's so old. Yeah.
Wild. Yeah, Tasia's one of those.
Uh-huh.
And John Paul Jones was
24. Yeah, 25. Yeah. And at that point, you might as well be in eighth grade.
Might as well. Like, I'll group them all together. Like, at that rate. Jeez. Oof. So anyways, for their date, they are doing a wedding photo shoot,
mm-hmm.
which I fucking hate.
This was terrible.
This was horrible.
This was really bad.
My Becky of the Week goes to whoever came up with this date.
That's great. That's a great one. Yep.
This is terrible. The photographer, though, loved him.
Loved him. Loved his outfit.
The booty shorts.
Oh, my God.
The eyeliner.
The scarf.
The scarf twisted to the side, yes, on the neck. The purple loafers. The name Franco LaCosta. Yeah. Like, everything about this man. I'm like, can he host the show? All right. Can we boot out JoJo and bring him in? Yes. Shit. Loved it. But yeah, Tasia, she's obviously shook for this date. Mm-hmm. Who would be excited to put on a wedding dress and pose as if they're getting married?
To someone who, this is your first date.
This is your first date.
That's crazy.
And she's been married before, so we all know that layer. Mm-hmm. And just last week, they did the whole proposal date too.
Stupidness, yeah.
Like, why are they forcing her into these pseudo, like, marriage engagement scenarios? Mm-hmm. It's very bizarre. Anyways, Zach comes out first in his little, you know, black and white penguin suit. And then I hate it too.
I'll go for a navy blue jacket, but a cream or white. You just look like a waiter.
You look like a waiter. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a time where it didn't look waiter-like. It's just the white blazer with the black pants.
Yeah.
You're serving drinks at the wedding.
Especially with a bow tie. You need a skinny tie, maybe. That would help. Maybe. I don't know.
Just throw this whole thing in the trash. So.
Oh, my God.
Trying to salvage the outfit. Maybe a skinny tie. No, just throw this whole thing in the trash. I hate a white suit jacket with a black pant. It is terrible.
It is. It is.
It's horrible. Tasia comes out in my dream wedding dress.
I mean, phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And I thought to myself, I was like, damn, she's not even wearing a bra. God damn it.
Her boobs are insane.
They're so great.
They're fantastic. But yeah, she, I would flat out refuse to do this
thing. Yeah, she's
so uncomfortable.
Yeah, she's really nice for doing this to production. Like, forget Zach. This could have been literally anyone.
Anyone, yeah.
But for production to do this to her is so terrible.
Sucks. You could tell, even when they brought out the veil, she was like, do we have to do the veil?
Oh,
they just, like, shoved it on her head.
Yeah.
Like,
and poor Zach was like, oh, my God.
Crippling at the sight of her beauty. Yeah. God. Yeah, she's very nice, because I would not do this. I would sit this one out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she, you know, they still have a good time. She feels, you know, warm and great with Zach. They do other scenes, like a rock star scene.
Yeah, they had Zach in some hideous clothes. He looked crazy in everything.
Yeah. But they had fun, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, afterwards they kind of sit and chat and she reveals to him, you know, why she was so uncomfortable is because she was actually married before, hence her nerves and everything. And then turns out we learned he was married too.
He said mad casual, like, oh yeah, me too. Yeah.
Me too.
Like mad casual.
Super
like
casual.
Oh yeah, like my dad is younger than my mom. Oh yeah, me too. No, my nigga, you were married. That's like you have to, that's a conversation. Like what?
That's a conversation. Yeah, he dropped that real quick. Mm-hmm. But he said he was married for about a year and she was married for 2 years. So both quick, obviously, to learn there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they, you know, really connect, have a good chat and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Time for the nighttime portion of their dates.
Mm-hmm.
Tasia, her boobs look magnificent.
They look so great. She's walking out in Boohoo's finest rayon, satin, sateen. Okay.
Yes.
Looking
like a silvery baby bluish like rack dress almost.
Yeah, it was all those fast fashion things. It was like shoulder, wrap, ruche, V-neck. Long sleeve.
So much happening in one outfit.
So much going on that you know you could only wear that shit once.
Yes.
Everyone's gonna
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which you know is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
No, it's that dress with the V-neck and the shoulder. Oh, God.
Oh, God. The boohoo's finest. She looks great, though.
She does. Her body does look insane. So good.
But yeah, they sit, have dinner by the pool, and, you know, Tasia's just digging, you know, trying to get to know you more, and Zach gives his whole story. So he says he comes from a great family, he graduated from college, found out he had a brain tumor. Next morning he was in surgery.
Which
that is, like, life-altering.
That is, yeah, so crazy.
Wild. And then as a result of the surgery, he was introduced to pain meds. And soon after, he got married. And then I guess he was still addicted to the pain meds. So, I mean, even while married, he sounds like he was still just juggling a life of, like, drinking and drugs.
And
hanging out with sketch people, and ended up getting arrested for DUI. Wife left him. Another 8 months go by, he said shit got real dark.
And he the way he said it too was like he probably even like doesn't really remember them, but he just knows it was 8 months, you know.
It was 8 months of just binging.
Just like up down binging, like trying to chase a high, getting down to back to a new low, like that sort of life.
That's just like not himself, I'm sure.
And like a life of that person. A life of addiction, I guess, like when your disease takes over.
So yeah, he said one day stole one of his dad's checks. Was at the bank trying to cash it, you know, trying to get money for whatever the hell. And the bank teller called his dad. Dad showed up and said, it's time to go home. And he said in that moment, he kind of had like a come to Jesus moment of clarity, and ended up going to rehab for about 5 months. And did he say he's now on the board of AA?
So he's now on the board of the rehab facility that he went to. And I love how he talked about all of these little details. Like he said, like, this is not my wife's fault. This has nothing to do with her. And then he said about the bank teller. He was like, she's my angel, the bank teller. And then he said, this is my baby, the rehab center. Like he holds these things very dear because they saved his life. And he acknowledges that those things saved his life. And I love that he really took himself out of that situation and knows the third parties and the spiritual awakening that he had and what happened. He told that story very well.
He told it very well, yes. And he's an addiction counselor now, so I'm sure part of his job is telling this story.
Right.
He knows it very well, and he's comfortable with it. And yeah, you can tell as deep and as, you know, wild and personal that story is, he was very comfortable in telling it at the same time. So yeah, Tasia, of course, asked all the best follow-up questions. Amazing. She's asking him how he like rebuilt, how he was able to rebuild trust with his family and all that stuff. But yeah, overall, we got to learn Zach. We've all loved Zach for a while, but now we kind of know what makes him tick and what, like, what's behind this, you know, intriguing person. He obviously got the date rose.
Obvi.
And they left dinner. They, you know, walk it along. They, like, pull this mysterious lever, and then it lights up this giant Ferris wheel.
That's crazy that they – how they get that into the Motel 6 La Quinta?
I don't know, girl.
Oof.
They figured it out, though. But it was cute. They you could tell Zach is, like, falling in love with Tasia.
Absolutely, yes.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. She also, she said she's absolutely falling for Zach, she said in her interview. Quickly, back in Motel 6, date card arrives. It is a group date for everyone except Easy. So that means Easy's getting the other one-on-one date this
week. I was shocked.
I was too.
I thought it was going to be Buzz Lightyear for sure.
Yep, she is making Buzz work for it, though.
Hot take, I feel like Buzz is going to win. Low-key.
Yeah.
Right?
He's feeling it. My top two, probably. Definitely making it to Old Town.
Yes.
Probably going to be picking out a ring. But yeah, that was shocking. Easy's getting the next one-on-one date, so. So, yeah, back on Tasia and Zach's date, they, you know, ride the Ferris wheel, they're making out and all that good stuff, and Zach is talking about how this whole experience is, like, surreal, and said something about, no one can tell me I can't come on a TV show.
Yeah, he said, nobody can tell me that, like, miracles don't exist, because I came on to this TV show, hopefully I fall in love, and I have the love of my life in, the, you know, whatever time span. Zach also does a lot of breaking the fourth wall, which I appreciate.
He knows nothing about TV.
Nothing.
Nothing about that. He is out here looking up the camera, talking about, so I'm on this show and I like this girl, like, breaking all of the walls. he don't know what the hell he's doing here. No. He signed up for something, not here.
I think it's very endearing. Yeah, I like it too.
It is. So anyways, next day, time for the group dates. Guys show up. They all arrive at, I guess the Motel 6 rec center.
Yeah, for sure.
And they walk in the room, and there is a naked man and woman posing.
And I'm surprised they didn't all start chanting and walking around in a circle saying, "We won't go." Okay.
We won't.
Because, oh my God, poor Blake. Blake was like,
traumatized.
Oh, God.
Butt naked with a knee.
With a knee brace.
Oh, God. I was scared for them. I was like, I cannot do another naked date.
No.
Making these men strip down and draw each other, whatever. I'm not doing it. So they were all very shook when they walked into the room. And they learned that they're actually going to be sketching the naked couple. So they're back to keep the clothes on. But yeah, they all kind of sit around, grab a seat at different tables. Noah, mustache dude, was sitting next to Tasia when Bennett basically came over and told him to chuck the deuces.
Yeah, how did he do that? I feel like I blinked and missed it. All of a sudden, Bennett was sitting,
like,
next
walking
to-
away.
Yeah.
Bennett just acted like he was like, "This is my seat." He made it sound very confident. He made it sound very confidently, like that was his assigned seat.
Yes, yeah.
And Noah knew better, but he was like, "I'm not going to make a scene. I'm just going to get up and go."
Right. Oh, God.
So he got bullied out of his seat, basically.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we all want to see Ivan next to Tasia. Get the fuck out of here, both
exactly.
of you.
Exactly. Get out of here, Bennett. But yeah, so they present their drawings, and Bennett and Noah are just like little cattiness.
Yeah, I feel like Bennett is feeding into whatever the fuck the producers are telling him to say, because
absolutely
he is very,
it's more Bennett.
Yes, yeah. It's way it's more, Bennett. More Bennett. Very mm-hmm. orchestrated. It's very odd.
Yeah, very strange. So after they draw the naked couple, they all get blindfolded, mm-hmm. and then they're given clay, and they can make little clay figures.
This was a lot of creativity they had to tap into. I felt bad.
This is like an arts and crafts like class.
But this is like arts and crafts 301. Like, this is advanced.
Yeah. Because they're given like clear like prompts and directives of, like, what to do with the clay. And it's like,
with multiple mediums. You asked me to draw. Yes. You asked me to paint a portrait. You asked me to make some clay with no eyes. Like, what? Oh, that's a lot. Yeah.
Very much a lot. Mm. So Tasia, she's blindfolded. Everybody's blindfolded. Mm-hmm. Bennett grabs her face and just like forces his tongue down her throat,
which is fucking weird because they're all blindfolded. She did not know who that was. Bennett,
there was no consent there.
None. Bennett, you are wilding.
Ugh, I hate that.
Oof, that was weird. That was mad weird.
It was very weird. It wasn't just a quick kiss. He was like tonguing her down.
Yeah.
And she was just like there having to be tongued down.
Right. Ugh. Oh, God. Ugh, Bennett. Ew.
Yeah. And that was very gross.
Yeah. And they're just practices that, like, it's 2020. We should all know that consent is a thing that happens even if you like the person as well. Mm-hmm. We saw this early in the season with Claire.
Right.
And yeah. Poolgate. Ugh, Bennett, come on.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So yeah, that was gross. And then, yeah, they all made little clay figures. Blake made a penis. Apparently, according to Spencer, he's constantly talking about sex.
Yes, and apparently this is a real thing. I feel like Blake is just here until he's not, you know? I feel like he's just riding the wave.
I think so.
I don't really think he fucks with Tasia like that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. He's just here.
Yep, he's just here till mm-hmm. paradise.
Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Bennett made a whole clay figure. This is our home in New York. This is our Hamptons home. This
Wild.
Is our California home. Just leaning in hard to this, like, white privilege elitist jerk character that, mm-hmm. why would you want to lean into that?
I feel like we said this two episodes or three episodes ago. I don't know why you would ever want to be a character on a reality TV show. They never work out to be successful, ever.
At the ripe age of 36 at that. Right. You're not 25 like Noah.
Right.
Like, you're an established human being with, like, a career and shit in New York City. Like, you want this, like, new identity?
I don't understand.
Like, white elitist prick on reality television?
Right. Mm-hmm. And, like, ask the other ones. Ask Pumpkin. Where's Pumpkin? You know what I'm saying? Like,
shout out to Flavor of Love.
Like, these people, they don't go anywhere. You don't get a book deal. Like, nothing. No. There's no revenue coming from this. I don't understand why he's playing into this so hard, but whatever.
But yeah, the next challenge, they all get blank canvases and have to make a self-portrait. And our challenge to, you know, get vulnerable, really reveal themselves through this portrait.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's very advanced. A lot of mixed medium happenings, people painting and people collaging.
Feathers, somebody else used the clay.
Yeah, like, Bennett did like a needlework.
Needle point? Oh my God. A lot.
But yeah, Buzz, he's nervous going into the self-portrait. Mm-hmm. He's implying, saying that there's things that he hasn't shared. Mm-hmm. Doesn't know if he has the words to express himself. Mm-hmm. I love Buzz, by the way. Great Instagram follow as well.
Okay. Shout out to Lauren, who sent us his gym.
Yes.
His
it's like a
fantastic
queer-friendly
gym. Lots of black people everywhere. Love it.
I love it. Yeah.
And it's like a queer men's gym, right? Yeah.
Yes. Queer men's only or whatever gym
or friendly or something like that.
Queer friendly gym, not sure how they phrased it, but either way, love it.
Yeah.
Very inclusive. But yeah, they all present their self-portraits, and mm-hmm. I really like this part of the date. I feel like we learned a lot through this one little portion of the date.
Yeah, and I feel like everybody got like maybe a minute to mm-hmm. 2 minutes or something,
do their little presentation. Mm-hmm. as I said, Bennett did some noodle work, and mm-hmm. he talked about how, you know, my life has been challenging and hard. Earlier, Noah asked me to spell privilege, and that's the furthest thing I grew up from. Did I miss that? When did Noah ask him to?
Again, I blinked. No clue when that happened.
Something went down with Bennett and Noah quickly.
Something.
I missed.
Yeah.
But Bennett is claiming he did not grow up in a life of privilege. You know, challenged and, you know, whatever. His okay. needle work is showing that. Ivan. Oh, we learned best. That his dad had cancer twice, mm-hmm. had a heart attack. Mm. So obviously has dealt with a lot of just like life or death moments with his father.
Yeah.
And his biggest fear is that his dad won't get to see the man that he's become. And so he had this whole like puzzle piece, mm-hmm. Self-portrait thing. It was cute. Blake, he's just here, you know, biding time.
Yeah. But just trying to see how many Instagram followers he's going to get by the end of this.
Basically. Mm-hmm. But he shared a little like turtle dove thing, talked about growing up, seeing a lot of shit in his household, mm-hmm. and he, you know, wants to travel far and wide to find his mate and have the family he never had, something mm-hmm. like that. Riley got deep as well.
Riley seemed like he took about 7 minutes to tell his story.
Seemed like a long one. Uh-huh. We got the abridged edited version.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I was talking about how he got a phone call from his mother, who he hadn't talked to in years, which mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, that's
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. His mom asked him what keeps you going, and he talks about how he daydreams of spending quality time in the future with his like hypothetical wife and daughter, mm-hmm. and he dreams of that because he didn't have that growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Riley, and then Buzz's turn. Now Buzz, he did create a portrait. He showed the portrait.
Buzz had a performance. Do you hear me? Okay. Buzz had
performative art.
He had. Not only did he make the portrait, he also created the script of this dramatic exit.
Within that whole presentation. Yes. So prepared. Whoa. So, yeah, he presents his canvas, then he puts it down, leaves, and mm-hmm. is like, sorry, I forgot something, and like exits the room. Everyone's like, what the fuck? And he comes back with a bathrobe on,
mm-hmm.
and he gets up in front of everybody mm-hmm. and was saying, like, you know, I talk a big game, but it's oftentimes hard for me to find the words. And then he drops his robe and is, like, cupping his dick. Mm-hmm. It's like, Tasia, you know, I'm showing up for you. I give all of myself to you.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, this is me in my purest, most raw form, you know, yada yada. I loved it personally.
I know. It took me a minute to get there.
Same.
Right? I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, what yes. is this? But the fact that he was talking, and you can tell that his mic was off. So you could tell that he didn't tell any producers that this was happening.
Part of it. Yeah. Like, his mic was, there was a weird sound thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could tell whoever the boom man had to like run up and try to fucking, or they had to like pour over the audio, whatever. But, mm-hmm. and also by the end of this date, and when he revealed more about himself in Tasia's one-on-one, then you see mm-hmm. even more why he did this, and I loved mm-hmm. it even more.
Yes. Yes. That you gave even more context.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. this alone is just like, well, did he have a big dick and that's why he did it? Like,
damn. But yeah, same. I kind of like rolled my eyes like, oh God, what is he doing? Or like, here goes Ben, like trying to like.
Yeah, like here goes another naked man. Thing. I'm tired of this black box.
Yeah, enough of this. But his little script, I liked it. Like him saying mm-hmm. like, this is me. Mm-hmm. Like this is my purest me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was very endearing and it felt sincere to me. I feel like.
Yeah.
I was really here for Tasia.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, oops, sorry, I just deleted something. Oh, this was actually my invite to the cookout.
Ben? Nude?
Nude Ben.
Oh!
I thought it was bold. Huh. I thought it, as you said, it started off as a gimmick, but then when the audio wasn't there and then his whole little speech with it all came together and mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm here for you, Ben.
Yeah, and it's like a real moment, you know?
It was a moment, mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked it. And it touched Tasia because she left the room and started crying right after.
Which was my Tasia deserves this moment.
Oh,
because she was bent over crying because all of these men had, how are you going to choose one, is really, you the know, issue. is yeah. the issue. And it's not, she's thinking, how are you going to choose one today? But she mm-hmm. has to choose one to be her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lot too.
That's hard. And there's a lot of great guys here.
Remember her one-on-one with Brendan and how we were like so gung-ho for Brendan? Everybody don't forget yes. about Curly Top now.
Brendan's not even in the top three at this point. Like, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard.
But she deserves all of this. You could tell that anyone who's this bubbly, this nice, this inviting is someone who has been through some things and is able to put a lot aside. And really focus on what's important. Mm-hmm. And so she deserves the best cast of guys. And she's black. Absolutely. I just love that the black girl got the best cast of men. This is so great.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Love it even more. So yeah, overall, great date.
Mm-hmm.
Time for the nighttime portion of their date. Tasia comes in. She thanks all the guys for, you know, the great moment earlier. Just all of them getting vulnerable, all mm-hmm. that jazz. Riley grabs Tasia first.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn a little bit more backstory to, like, his mom situation.
Yeah.
So he shares that his parents were divorced. He, I guess, was raised by his dad, lived with his dad.
Which tells you a lot about the mom.
Talked a lot of shit about the mama.
Yeah, because that never happens.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. That's bad.
That's bad. So he grew up with, like, some preconceived thoughts and shit about his mom. And,
yeah.
They've since been able to talk things out, and their relationship is in a great place now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, Tasia seems to be into Riley. I think he's not in the first tier, but I think he's a sweet guy.
Yeah.
She likes that he's gotten vulnerable.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's still kind of like in the pack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, Brendan, I don't know. I loved them before, but now I don't know.
I don't know either. And I think it's just because we haven't seen poor Brendan in a while.
Haven't seen him in a minute.
Yeah. And we had it really is three black girls sitting in there. They had a great date. They had a great, great date. And we can't lose sight of that. And they had some really good chemistry on screen that we can't lose sight mm-hmm. about either. Like, they mm-hmm. seemed like very attracted and just like melded well together.
Mm-hmm,
But we just don't see that anymore.
Just don't see it. Yeah. And we've seen now Ivan, Zach, mm-hmm. Ben, like
mm-hmm.
other super strong connections since then. So,
yeah.
Don't know. The guys now, so they're all sitting around and, you know, chatting about, I guess Noah's bullshit. Bennett talks about the unfortunate drama at last ceremony and is like, thank you, young Noah, for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah like claps back. So they're still,
yeah,
their little beef.
Bennett knows that whenever he calls Noah young, it bothers him. So he keeps
exactly why he's doing it.
Different variations of calling him young. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now Buzz and Tasia sit together. And he tells her he's never felt like this in his entire life. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is a lot, but also I love you.
Love him. Love him.
I do.
Oh, my God.
And as you said last week, he's gotten hotter and hotter with each episode.
Yes.
I didn't see it really in the beginning.
Not at all. You know what it is? It's that one tendril got loose. With men, it's like these little tiny things. One tendril got loose, and I was like, ooh.
Ooh, look at that tendril doing something for me. Another thing I noticed about Buzz, his clavicle bone.
Great.
It's great, right?
He's got a great
it's
body.
It's always peeking out in his shirt. I don't look at clavicle bones or whatever the fuck that thing is, but he's got a great one.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
But yeah, so Tasia, she asks him, like, do you feel, because he says, like, I've never felt like this in my life. She's like, do you feel that way because you're often closed off?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're kind of, like, opening up, and so that's why. And Buzz reveals a story.
And he reveals a story, and I feel like the cameras had to get out of the way in order to even get the story out of him, because I feel like they were looking through a bush when they were filming this. I feel like some of the angles were real tight.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point, actually. It wasn't like they were just, like, sitting right in front of us with the camera there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever makes him feel safe, because he ended up dropping
this TV.
A big nugget here.
Yeah.
But yeah, he says, you know, the life I've lived is different than you probably may assume. And then says, like, the reason I'm in health and fitness and in that world is because I had an eating disorder for 15 years.
Oof.
He said, you know, I quickly learned no one likes the fat kid. Mm. And as a result, he ended up with an eating disorder and suffered from bulimia for 10 years.
10 years. Oh my goodness. And I'm wondering about the other five.
Yeah, like what was happening there.
Whew.
Wild, he said, the only person who knew was his sister. Mm-hmm. So he basically suffered through his entire 20s, it sounded like, with this disease.
And high school, yeah.
In secret, yeah.
Yeah.
Never would have guessed that.
Never.
Was anyone's story, really. We don't really ever hear about men suffering from eating disorders.
Right.
So just appreciated his willingness to share that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just kind of like bring up this conversation of men suffering with eating disorders. I mean, here is a man who is like gorgeous on national television. He's a fitness coach. He's healthy. He seems to have it all together.
Yeah.
And he suffered for 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whew. And also for him, this is why he got naked and said, "You get all of me."
Yes.
Because so much of his story is tied into his physical stature and appearance. So it made so much sense. I'm so glad he told her at the end of this date rather than waiting until they're one-on-one.
Right.
Because it made so much more sense. I'm sure for Tasia, like for us as viewers for sure, but it made so much more sense for her why he did that.
Exactly. And that was a moment for him. It wasn't a gimmick. That was a moment.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm sure every time he's shirtless or has to show off his body or any of that, it's a moment for him. So to just for him to feel so to get to that point of feeling safe.
Yeah.
Kudos to Buzz. That was great. Yeah.
Kudos. Yep. So time for the date rose. The nominees.
You know what? And I feel like the guys were so willing to tell their personal stories in these 1 to 2 minutes because Tasia really takes the time with these men.
Yeah.
You know? The fact that she does this little nominee list. Who else has done this? This is great.
Love it.
Ugh.
So the nominees were Riley, Brendan, and Ben, Buzz. And Buzz obviously got the date rose.
Yes, puppy. Yes. And he's like, this rose means more than anything to me. I love it. No one will ever know how much this rose means to me.
I know. It's like the greatest moment of his life. God. And like, I believe him when he says
absolutely 100%.
Oh boy. For me, this entire date was a what Tasia deserves moment.
Oh, nice.
I just love, she's real. She don't need to be thrown on no naked, no dodgeball dates or all the other bullshit we see. Just give her like some realness. Let the guys tell their stories. Mm-hmm. She's great at asking questions. Like, this is the type of date that she deserved and she got a lot out of them. And she didn't have to wait until a one-on-one to hear all this from them. She's getting to learn these guys along the way, which we don't really get usually from group dates.
Oh, yeah, never.
So anyways, Tasia, before she leaves the guys, she does say, you know, there is one more thing. Noah and Bennett, there is some going on between the two of y'all. And I'm going to get to the bottom of this one way or another. And then gets up and leaves. It's like, oh my God, what is happening?
I know. And we really don't need this.
We don't, and we don't care.
But
there's no drama on this season besides this.
I know. But we still don't need it. This is interesting enough.
We don't. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they have to do some drama just in case.
Just in case.
When they're in the editing room, and they're like, fuck, there's nothing.
Exactly. Oh, Lord. But yeah, Noah and Bennett, they just go back and forth. And Noah hates how condescending Bennett is to him. Mm-hmm. Bennett hates that Noah calls him privileged. I guess that was a trigger for him.
Yeah. Interesting, too.
Either way, we're bored of this.
Right. Stupidness. Yeah. Stupid.
Next day, Easy. He's hyped for his date. Tasia is excited for this date. She's excited to have like a romantic breakthrough with Easy. They have, you know, easy breezy kind of relationship.
Yeah. Like friends vibes to me.
Very friends vibe.
Yeah. Easy, yeah. I guess not so much, but friends vibes.
Right. For but everybody for Tasia, else. Yes, friend zone. For their date, they start off their date at night. They meet up in like the pitch dark. Tasia scares him. It's this whole funny moment. And they learn that they're going ghost hunting for their date.
This is, what kind of black man date is this?
This is the perfect date for like a large black man because they are usually so scared. And if you want to
so
get
scared,
so scared.
And they scream so loud.
They scream so loud. They are the biggest scaredy cats. So if they want like laughs and comedic value, like he was the perfect
true.
One for this date.
That's true. Like. Yeah.
But yeah, they read some like tale about the resort, how the owner of the resort back in the 1700s,
I was like, who
whatever.
Wrote this? Like, wrote what this story person? Is this that they took from Wikipedia from somewhere else that is right. not here?
But yeah, basically, there's the ghosts that haunt the property, and so they're gonna go like it's basically like a massive Halloween house,
yeah,
just like the whole resort, which. I thought it was fun. I love a Halloween house.
Ooh, girl.
No.
You know, girl, I can't watch Stranger Things. Are you crazy?
Stranger
Nope. I'm not having that devil in my house. Absolutely not. Nope.
Oh, my God. When I was in college, I used to go to, in Philly, the Eastern State Penitentiary.
What? Like
they do a crazy haunted house there. It's an old, old, real prison where, like, real famous prisoners once was. People died. All kinds of crazy shit happened there. And every Halloween, they turn it into a massive haunted house.
Whoa.
And we would go every year in college. It was, like, the thing to do in Philly during Halloween
season.
Well,
that's kind of interesting, too, though. That's kind of, like, historical fact tour interesting.
Yeah, except it's not historical. It's just, like, a gimmicky, like, Halloween
oh,
haunted house.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
But you're in this, like, historical building that you know is, like, actually haunted.
Yeah, so. For sure. Yeah, yeah.
For sure haunted. But, yeah, I thought this was fun.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, they just have fun. You know, the producer is basically, like, fucking with them. And
running
around screaming.
And Tasia, okay. Now, I saw the writings on the wall right here because Tasia called him bro. And I said, oh, nah, he going home.
Yeah.
She did all this so that he can go home.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yikes. Oof.
Yep.
So, yeah, time for dinner. Tasia in this lime
this
green.
This Kermit green
mini dress.
Dress.
I loved it.
Loved it.
Didn't she look like a Fanta girl?
Oh, my God. Don't you wanna Fanta?
Yes. I was like, oh my God, she literally looks like a Fanta girl. I love it.
Oh my God. Almost every single outfit she's worn, I'm obsessed with.
Obsessed. Yeah.
No matter how cheap it looks, no matter how expensive it looks, right. It doesn't matter. I'm obsessed
Don't matter.
With it.
She looks great. And the styling, she loves a high pony.
Yeah.
It was really, this was a great look. I loved it. You said this Kermit the Frog green.
It is Kermit green.
It was Kermit green. So yeah, her and Easy, they sit for dinner and chit-chatting. Easy says, you know, this whole experience has been great. The moment I saw you, from our first conversation, I just had very strong feelings for you. You know, when you know, I can honestly say I'm falling in love with you.
Did you know he was going home from then? Because I did.
Immediately.
Right? Like,
immediately
what
he was going home.
Are you talking about, sir? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Mm.
This is your first one-on-one date, first of all. And I don't know. I feel like when you're in this vacuum, this bubble where, like, all day they sit around just, like, talk about Tasia.
Yeah, yeah.
any little moment, eye contact, funny, you know, aside, things that they have with her, they just mull on that all day.
Yeah.
And it becomes like, oh my God, we obsessive. Had a great connection.
Yeah.
It becomes obsessive. And he feels compelled to share these feelings because he feels like she must have these feelings back for me as well.
Right.
I can't be crazy thinking right. that moment that we had after kickball was like magical or whatever.
Oh my God.
But as he said this, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah. Going home, bro. Going home.
And Tasia, as he was saying this, she was like very straight faced.
Yeah.
She
was not reaction. Yeah.
No reaction. She was just kind of taking it in. And she commends him. She's like, you know, I've been asking you guys to be vulnerable, be open. You've always been that with me, like from minute one. You're a solid dude. You deserve a lot. But then she grabs the ropes and says, you know, I can't give you those ropes.
Yeah. You know, I don't feel like this. You are wildin', and you have got to go home.
The sad thing is he doesn't know. He doesn't.
And this was a really good breakup, too. A lot of leads don't do a breakup like this.
That's right.
This is a good one. This is, I feel like he should have known from You're a Solid Good Man that he was going home.
It was a done deal. She basically just said, I'm just not where you are. And I don't want you to keep pouring yourself out to me. And then I send you home later down the line. Just call it quits here. Let me walk you out.
Yep.
So yeah, we gotta say goodbye to POC.
I know, easy. And he looked like he was gonna cry. This was like serious for him.
Yeah, I feel like he really had like feelings in his heart.
He did. Like,
actually.
He did. It was
bizarre.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. She packed him up, he had to go.
He had to go, and they didn't, when they say goodbye, he didn't say best of luck or there's some great guys in there or nothing. He just was like, damn, are you serious? And she was like,
he literally said that to her.
Absolutely. You have got to go right now.
You've got to go.
Yeah.
Gotta go. Next day, obviously everybody's talking about Easy's departure. They're shocked. And then they're all, you know, sitting around Motel 6 again, chatting about Ben and Noah's bullshit. JoJo shows up, lets them know that they are still having a cocktail party, but not right away because Tasia needs to talk to Bennett and Noah and squash this beef, whatever the hell's going on between the two of y'all. They, of course, still back and forth, talking foolishness back and forth.
Yeah.
And she's like, look, Tasia can't keep both of you. One of you will stay, one of you will go. You're going to meet up with Tasia before the cocktail party. Hash it all out. Bennett, he's hype. He feels very confident about this.
Yeah.
So excited for this moment. So they are just, I guess, Noah and Bennett, they go off somewhere. They're just sitting waiting for Tasia. And Bennett walks in and he has a gift box. And it is a gift, as he calls it, a gentlemanly gift for Noah.
This is where he got my second Becky of the Week of the episode.
Ooh. Damn.
Because I haven't seen him give Tasia nothing. If there is any time to give anyone anything, and you are getting a two-on-one, it is not to give the man that you have been antagonizing for weeks anything and to give him a show. It's time to give Tasia a show, sir.
Yes.
Because Buzz Lightyear came knocking on that door and had room service and champagne for her as at 2:45 in the morning. And you came in here with gifts for Noah, someone who you can't stand, obviously, because you want camera time. But you also look like you have definitely killed multiple people in this moment because you look absolutely crazy. Oh, my God. This was so weird, so cringeworthy. Yeah. I feel like the producers told him something and he went rampant wild with it. Like, no.
Yeah, not a good move, dude, going into a two-on-one. Not a good move. So, yeah, he opens up the box of gifts, and first it's like a red bandana. He's talking about, you know, when you first came, Noah, you and I had a really good conversation about growing up on a ranch in Oklahoma and all that stuff, and seems nice enough. He starts off, you know, gentle. Then second gift, he whips out a dusty pair of socks that he literally said he wore on the last group date.
Ew. Ugh.
And it was socks that had like mustache little pictures on it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, only time you should wear mustaches on your feet. So now he's, you know, starting the dibs. And then the last gift was a book on emotional intelligence. And he just sits there and like schools Noah. So condescending. Talking about the four components of emotional intelligence. You're deficient on three of these. And Noah obviously is done at this point.
Yeah, like, right. You're sitting here disrespecting the fuck out of literally every layer of my character. Like, whoa.
So he's like, I'm going to let you finish, but I have, you know, I have stuff to say myself.
Yeah.
And Ben is just like talking down to him. Mm-hmm. Like, I did not have emotional intelligence at your age.
Yep.
You know, every step of the way with Tasia, you're talking about other guys. You have a lot to learn from this book. And claims he's not trying to belittle Noah. He says, I'm literally trying to love you up.
Oh, God.
Whilst belittling.
Whilst belittling. And one of you is going home. So why do you care about his emotional intelligence right now if you want to stay? You see what I mean? Like, he just wants this moment for himself. It's fucking weird.
He just wanted a moment.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's it. That's it. Noah challenges him to say exactly everything he just said to him in front of
Tasia. In front of Tasia, which is a great company. Noah knows how to be a villain. You okay?
Noah knows villainry. He is a master of the art of villain. Yes. So Tasia arrives. She's in this long,
very gowny gown.
Gowny gown, yes. And she tells them she's tired of the petty drama. She wants to get over all of this. Noah just basically rehashes a play-by-play of, like, everything Bennett has ever called him or said to him. He brings up the comments about when Bennett was saying, I feel like I'm arguing with a 14-year-old or something like that. He brings up how Bennett said that he had 0% chance with Tasia. Bennett, as he does, co-signed everything.
Yeah.
Shamelessly.
Right, right.
Wasn't denying he said anything. But Tasia's over it. She's like, this is petty.
She was like, is this what goes on?
Is this what goes on? Because this is petty as hell. Dying. Like, this teenage boy drama is whack.
Oh my God, I was dying and she said that.
God. And she tells Bennett, she's like, you do realize when you say to Noah, like, he has 0% chance to, like, you're questioning my integrity.
Right, right.
Bennett, again, he is the king of wrong and strong.
Yeah, yes.
He says to Tasia, I don't think that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
God. And then Tasia sees the gift box sitting on the table and asks, what's in the box?
And ain't no dick in a box.
The episode. Ain't no dick in the box.
Nope.
We'll have to see next week what Bennett has to say for himself, because that was the episode.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Lord, how he gonna spend? He's going home. He has to.
He's definitely going home.
He's definitely going
home. And Noah's gonna walk in there with his nose up in the air in that cocktail party with that rose pinned to his jacket. Everybody's gonna be so mad that Bennett left because they probably were all friends with him because he's probably so buddy buddy with the rest of them. Ed is probably gonna lose his damn mind because his only friend left. Like,
why is Ed still here?
What is Ed doing here? Ed is not your husband, Tasia. You need to, needs to leave.
He's far from it. What the hell? He always looks a mix of like tired and sickly.
Drugged. Drugs. Hard, white, man-made drugs.
Ed looks terrible. Yeah. What he's still doing here. Me either. Wild. But yeah, that was the episode. We do get a little preview for next week,
which looks the fuck wild.
Which was like, also, what the fuck is about to happen next week?
So crazy.
Geez, we see obviously Bennett or Noah goes home. Tasia says that's not the goodbye I expected. So I mean, I'm guessing Bennett goes home and he does a whole speech of some sort to,
right, yeah,
to Tasia or some bullshit.
Yeah,
another moment, tries to create another moment. We see a group date where there is a lie detector, and Zach reveals that he has cheated before. We see Tasia with Zach and kind of some audio of her saying, every time I talk to him, I learn something I wasn't expecting. So I don't think she's going to, you know, obviously feel too kindly about the cheating.
Whatever else he's going to.
And whatever else is unveiled during that lie detector. Brendan, him and Tasia, and him telling Tasia that the time frame of a proposal is very scary for him.
Which I agree, Brendan.
I totally agree. Yeah. we have Riley also, was he crying, I think?
Yeah, he was really crying.
Really crying and saying, is today the day I let myself go? Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Zach also crying about his Tasia mess, whatever. So it seems like a lot's going to go down next week. I'm very hyped for this episode.
Me too.
I'm loving this season so much.
It's so great.
This is great. But yeah, we'll be back next week, guys. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe. Hit us up on Twitter, email, Facebook, Instagram. Tags in your story, share us with the world, all those things.
Please do.
And we'll be back next week. Another week of Tasia as the Bachelorette.
Yeah, see you next week.
Love it.
Bye. Next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.